Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path Church. Excited to be with you here this morning as we continue our blockbuster summer series. Last week, we had an incredible message by my brother Ray. Ray brought an incredible word about the rejected hero. And it was exciting to, have Ray back in the old saddle as I was messing with him as his first time back preaching since he finished his PhD. But we're going to continue our series today with an American movie classic, man. It's going to date back a little bit now. So some of my young folks may have to do a little bit of research, but we're going to have an incredible time. Well, let's go ahead and jump in with a word of prayer and then we will get going. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you together, Father, as a community. God, as we look into your word and we get back to the text, Father, we pray, God, that you will give us wisdom and discernment to be able to differentiate right from wrong, God. Father, we are but children and we do not know our duties, but God, we come to you humble, God, on bent knees, asking for you to guide us along the path. Father, we are praying for everyone today that their hearts and minds will be open to what you have to say. In your holy son's name I pray, amen. So today we are going to talk about The Wiz. Now, how many people have heard of The Wiz? And we're not going to go with the recent Broadway musical. We're going to go back to the old school, 1978. Well, The Wiz is a movie, as many of us know, that is a play off of The Wizard of Oz. And so The Wiz involves an incredible group of characters that we're going to talk in some details about. This is a very important movie for the African-American community. The African-American community at that time was waiting for this movie to come back out because we were just yearning for something culturally. And it is a part of our culture without a doubt. So I got a couple of, questions for you there. You can throw it in the chat and we'll kind of trivia y'all a little bit. Maybe some of my older, mature brothers and sisters will get this. Who played Dorothy in the original Wiz? Who played Dorothy in the original Wiz? Put it there in the chat. Put it there in the chat. And then, okay, I'm going to give you two more. Who played the Scarecrow? Who played the Scarecrow in the original movie? And then the last one is who played the Lion? Who played the Lion? Now, I really want to know that one because I cannot remember. I didn't really look at that character. But, hey, let's check out the introductory clip here.
I'm on my way to find the Wiz. He's gonna get me back home.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. And good luck.
The genius who created me only took care of my dashing good looks, my razor-sharp wit, and my irresistible attraction to the wrong women. What he forgot was a heart.
A lion without any courage. Oh!
Can you help us, sir?
What's in it for me?
We'd be very grateful.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
There it is.
So as you can see, Dorothy is getting engaged with some very strange characters. And this group of people that have come together, they are on a journey. They have been encouraged to stay on the path, on the yellow brick road to get to the Wiz, to get to this end game of healing and all the things that they were asking for. You know, doesn't this sound so familiar as to a journey that we go with God? where it requires a group of people, it requires a community to move forward to be able to seek God. And I want to kind of displace a myth that we can sit in our rooms with a TV screen or a phone and just our Bibles by ourselves, and we can seek out God. That's not accurate. That is a myth. God chose the Israelites because they were a community people. They moved forward together. And so when we look at the scriptures, there's a scripture that really cuts home here. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 6. And Jeremiah was actually trying to communicate to the Israelite nation, the community, hey, y'all need to get back on the ancient path. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls. So Jeremiah was encouraging the people to get back on the ancient path. What is Jeremiah referring to? If you look at what the biblical Jewish scholars in the Midrash, which is the biblical commentary of the Old Testament for the Jewish community, it talks about the ancient path was the text. Jeremiah was encouraging the community to get back to the Torah, to get back to the teachings and the commands and decrees of God. And for us, that means getting in our Bibles, staying in our Bibles on a daily basis, getting back to the text. And the result is we will find rest for our souls. You know, I can remember when I first got introduced to the Bible almost 10 years ago. My wife and I, we were, you know, wanting to seek out healing. We wanted to make our marriage better. Now, I thought I was saved. I thought I was going to heaven. I just wanted to make myself look a little better. And there was a group of strange people that I met, some disciples of Jesus Christ. These people were strange, man. I'm like, they were loving on me and asking about my life, and they're all in my personal space. I'm like, what is going on here? But that group of people loved me. They set me down and they taught me the ancient path to study out the Bible. And my wife and I made the decision to make Jesus Lord of our life and get baptized 10 years ago. And we have definitely found rest for our souls. You know, if we are able to get on the path and stay on the path, then we will find rest for our souls from so many burdens of life. The burden of addiction, the burden of divorce, the burden of a disillusioned church experience, maybe the burden of a child that has gone wayward and jumped off the path, or the burden of many types of abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, and even spiritual. God wants to heal those burdens. He wants to take them off of our plate to give rest for our souls. So the question we should all have is, how do I get rest for my soul? Jesus gives us a very plain and simple example of this in Matthew chapter 11. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 28, but to give us a little context, earlier on in the chapter, Jesus is giving woes and warnings. Jesus is talking to a group of people from the area that we refer to as the Triangle. The Triangle is a group of cities, three of them, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. And this is where all of the super scholarly Pharisees reside. Many of the Jewish authors and biblical scholars believe that this is the Harvard of the Torah back in Jesus' day. And so these people did not have a problem with devotion, with theology, with biblical knowledge. Oh no, doctrine, they had all that taken care of. What Jesus was telling them, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. because you do not take care of the mumser. The mumser is a Hebrew term that means outsider, outcast, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the foreigner. You see, the Pharisees were not concerned with the people that didn't have much. And so Jesus was telling the people, hey, if you are overburdened, if you are weighed down, I have an answer for you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so what we're talking about, let's talk a little bit about the yoke. The yoke we need to look at not only from a physical standpoint, but also a spiritual standpoint. The yoke is a wood beam that has two wooden U-shape attachments. And you put two animals, traditionally ox, in the yoke. And you latch them up together. And as one go, the other one must go because they are yoked together. We've heard that terminology before. Well, if the yoke is too heavy and too burdensome, the animal, the oxen, will push and pull and pull and tug till the yoke will create wounds on their shoulders. And it would put them out of commission from serving in the fields. The other aspect of a yoke is spiritually. And the yoke back in Jesus' day was referred to spiritually when a rabbi was involved. See, the rabbi had a yoke. Every rabbi had a yoke. And the yoke involved two particular parts. Part one was how the rabbi interpreted the scriptures. Part two was the set of teachings that the rabbi would use to be able to tell you how to live your life, how to be human. So Jesus is telling this crowd, listen, if you are overburdened, if you have felt like you are just laid down because the Pharisees' yoke isn't working, the religious yoke in the first century isn't working. That's the yoke of a bunch of expectations, a bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations. They weighed the people down. Jesus is saying, come to me. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. Now, when Jesus says easy, he's not talking about like, hey, everybody can do it. Yada-da-da-da. It's for everybody. But Jesus also said that the road is narrow. Jesus is referring to a lightness of his yoke. So as we look at these three verses, you know, we have read this passage many a times, and it is refreshing, it is encouraging, and that is definitely one of the meanings of it. As we've been talking about, I want us to go deeper in our Bibles to get the hidden meaning of what the author is communicating. And so if we look at Jesus, Jesus is saying some thunderous statements here in this passage. Let's take verse 28 when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and I will, who are burdened, I will give you rest. He's referring to Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. That's when God was talking to Moses and God said, my presence will go with you and give rest for your soul. Jesus is saying, I am God. When Jesus articulated this verse or this message to the people, because he was in the Harvard of the Old Testament, everybody was like, Jesus, I know Jesus didn't say that. He capping. Ain't no way, bro. He can't say he got up in here. So the people were dumbfounded. But Jesus was saying, I am God. If we go to verse 29, he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. Who goes around and says, hey, I'm humble, right? Nobody goes around and says that. That's actually the antithesis of humility. But there was one man in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, Moses. Moses said, I am the most humble man that walked the face of this earth. So what is Jesus communicating? I am the new Moses that you're looking for. And in the last verse here, it says, you will find rest for your souls. He is pointing back to a scripture that we just read in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And the path was the text, the scriptures. So Jesus is saying, not only am I God and I am the new Moses, I am also the text. I am the word of God living and in flesh. I am what you are looking for. I am the way that you want to live. It is I who you seek. Wow, that's powerful that those people that heard what Jesus said knew that he was saying those powerful three things. So Jesus wants us to take up his yoke. A yoke is also how we shoulder burdens and how we find healing. When we look at the rabbi, every rabbi has one, but Jesus has the easier yoke to give us an easy way home. And that's the title of my message today, The Easy Way Home. Jesus wants to be locked in relationship with us in that yoke. He wants to be able to show us the path, show us how to walk, show us how to deal with these crippling burdens that we have to deal with today. It might be the burden of the loss of a close friend, the death of a family member. It might be a diagnosis of cancer. It might be a disillusioning church experience which causes you tremendous church hurt. Maybe it's betrayal that you're dealing with. Maybe it's the fact that your dreams have been shattered. Or recently, all the social media frenzy around social injustice issues that get portrayed in an unhealthy manner. Or it could be the crippling burden of a dry relationship with God or a lack of joy in your relationship with God. You know, if we move in this direction, sometimes we can take up the yoke of the world and try to figure it out on our own, or maybe read a self-help book, or, you know, get with some folks that don't necessarily have spiritual mindset. And if we do that, we shoulder those burdens and we deny ourselves the ability to be healed. But if we come to Jesus and we do an exchange where we say, Jesus, you take the burden and I will take up your yoke, then we can find rest for our souls. You know, the thing that I get excited about Jesus's yoke, Jesus just didn't say, hey, I'm going to write this manual. I'm going to get these scriptures together. Boom, throw them to us. I'm out. I'm going up to heaven. I'm going back with the Father. This place down here is way too rough to deal with y'all. No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus invited us to be his apprentice. He invited us to walk with him. And when you look at the Hebrew word for apprentice, it's talmudin. Talmudin. And we translate that into the word disciple. So as a talmudin, what do? As a disciple, what do? You follow Jesus. You be with Jesus and you do what Jesus does. WWJD. Y'all remember that? Does anybody have a WWJD wristband in their house right now? Man, I remember I used to wear that thing in college, man. I thought it was cool. You know, let everybody know I'm spiritual. Man, I actually was wearing it to try to get some women. And that's a whole other story. I don't want to get nobody in no trouble. But when I realized what that bracelet actually meant, I said I needed to cut my wrists off because I had no way I should have been wearing that. No way. So if we want to stay on the path, if we can stay on the path, that's where we will find healing, and that healing will heal. I'm telling y'all, it will heal the deepest parts of our soul. So Jesus's yoke, if we take it up and we link ourselves in with Jesus, it will give us rest for our soul, which will give us salvation. Amen. When we look at salvation, there's several different ways to look at it. One, we know everybody thinks of is heaven. hey, man, I got salvation. Hey, I'm going to heaven when Jesus comes back. Or, you know, that is true. Salvation is getting to heaven. Another way to look at it is we can actually take part in salvation right now with the healing and forgiveness of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And I think the most important concept of salvation is the ability to heal the deepest, darkest wounds of our soul and our heart. When we look at the Greek word for salvation, the Greek word is soteria, soteria. And this is the same word that is translated for healing. When you look at the origin of our English word salvation, it comes from the Latin word salve. Y'all remember grandma used to say, put salve on it, boy. You fall down and scrape your elbow, put some salve on it. Then you fall down on the other one, you break this one, and she still tell you, put some salve on that thing, boy. It'll heal that. That's like the old Robitussin. Put tussin on everything, you put salve on everything. Because it's an ointment that heals. You know, brothers and sisters, the major point that I have for you this morning is healing comes from a decision to take up the yoke of Jesus, to receive healing, and the way we do that is to become his Talmidim. Amen. Say it with me. I want healing. I want healing. You know, Dorothy and her crew was fighting for that healing. They were fighting to get to the end of the yellow brick road. But along that path, they had several obstacles that were trying to knock them off of it. Evelyn, who's the Wicked Witch of the West, and her goons did everything in their power to prevent Dorothy from getting to her goal. Check out this clip. So as you can see, all that stuff that Dorothy was going through, and that's just one clip of it. They had flying monkeys coming at them. They had distractions from the poppies. I mean, they had all kind of stuff. They could have just been fed up. They could have just been tired and just given up. Forget the yellow brick road. Forget the whiz. Forget the healing. I can't deal with this no more. Have you felt tired? Have you wanted to give up? Let me read our scripture, our passage for today, but I'm going to read it in the Message version. I want to read it in the Message version. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Message version. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So your life is a byproduct of your lifestyle. Your life basically is the experiences of the human condition. Your lifestyle is the rhythms and routines of your day-to-day existence. It's how you spend your money. It's how you spend your time. It's what relationships do you invest in. So your time, your money, your relationships, that's discipleship. That's making Jesus Lord in those areas. We have to follow Jesus and his lifestyle in order to do that. And there's a story about a gentleman that I want to share with you all who has decided to get on the path and follow the lifestyle of Jesus. My man, Josh Beal. Josh Beal is Ed Beal's brother. Ed was one of our brothers that became a disciple a couple of weeks ago. And Ed clearly articulated, I thought I was saved. I thought I was saved. But when I looked at this Bible and these scriptures, I wasn't saved. I was not right with God. And Ed made the decision to make Jesus Lord. And the first thing he does is he shares it with his brother. He says, man, you got to come get this. You got to come out to church. You got to meet these guys. Josh comes out at Ed's baptism and we love on Josh and we connect with Josh. And Ed had already told him, like, hey, man, you got to go on this journey like I'm on. And Josh is open to studying the scriptures. And Josh had some emotional and some mental, you know, things that he was working through, man. And I'm so thankful for Josh and his openness as he has traveled and journeyed with us. And I have seen Josh change. I have seen him grow because he's decided to get on the path. He's decided to take some cues from Jesus's lifestyle. And he is moving forward, working on those emotional and those mental things. And so we are so amazed at what happens when we decide to take up the yoke of Jesus. Write this one down. Write this one down. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you must adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Are you waiting on healing in your life right now? Are you wanting to be healed of a crippling burden that you just can't get from up under? Say it with me again. I want healing. I know there are some things that I want to get healed. If we look at the characters of our movie here, I think we all can relate to different things that they were on the journey to try and get healed. If we look at my man, the Tin Man had no heart. Man, how many times has our heart wanted to trick us? How many times has our heart been callous with stone where we just didn't feel like wanting to do nothing with God? We didn't want to be bothered with no Bible. We didn't want to be bothered with God's people. We just were in a fritz. We were just anxious and we were just worried and our hearts were just nothing, closed down. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23 clearly articulates, I will give you a heart transplant, the scripture says. Transplant a heart of stone for a heart of flesh and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is amazing. Our hearts can be healed. The next guy is old Scarecrow. Scarecrow needed a brain. He wanted to be smart. He wanted to think through things. Romans chapter 12 talks about a renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind, not keeping with the thinking of the old way, but have a new thinking. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. Think like I think. And I'm not saying it's easy. It takes time. But we must develop conviction that the spiritual battle is occurring in our hearts and in our minds. You see, Satan is trying to trick us. Deception is his plan, and he starts that by tricking us in our minds. Our minds can be healed as well. Next is our good buddy, the lion, the king of the jungle. I always enjoyed this one because I'm like, how does the king of the jungle have no courage? He can't even pop a balloon, man. He's afraid of a fly. And so he had fear. Our fear can be healed as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, we were not born with a spirit of timidity. No, not a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a Talmudean of Jesus. We have no fear. We are imparted with the word of God. Jesus has overcome it all. Our fear can be healed. And finally, our main character, Dorothy. And I think she had the most difficult healing task of all was herself. You see, Dorothy was comfortable in that New York City apartment. Her aunt even said, you ain't even been past 125th Street. I don't know where that is. I'm pretty sure Mike and Sean and the rest of our New York crew knows. But she was afraid to leave her comfort zone. She was afraid to let people see who she really was. And she couldn't find out who she was or her purpose. So brothers and sisters, we find out who we really are and our purpose when we engage in our relationship with God and submit to his will for our lives. We got to reveal our true, authentic self to other people. And when we're able to do that, then we will see an amazing purpose. And Dorothy showed that purpose in the end. She brought all those folks along with her. And that's our purpose, to help heal other people. That's what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees. You're not concerned about the disenfranchised. You're not concerned about the marginalized. Those three characters Dorothy ran into, them dudes were strange as all get out. Nobody wanted to hang with them. They almost didn't want to let them in the Wiz Palace because they looked so crazy. So that's our purpose. When we look at ultimate healing, the ultimate healing, the ultimate salvation, amen, praise God, brothers and sisters, is to make it home with the Father, bringing as many people with us as possible. The challenge is sometimes we look for that healing in the cues of the world. And those things have pretenses. And as you read as you watch the movie, you will come to find out, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but most people know this part of the story. The Wiz was fake. The Wiz was not real. All that they were making about making it to, it wasn't about the Wiz. It was about being on the path. It was about being on the journey with a group of people to help each other get saved. So for us, it's about getting back to the text, being in community, helping heal one another, and bringing other people along for the healing that they seek. Amen. Taking up the yoke of Jesus. Write this one down. Write this one down. Come and follow Jesus. Take up his yoke and become his Talmudim. Are you his Talmudim? Are you sure? Maybe you don't quite know. You know, Darcy had on those fancy silver slippers the whole time through the movie. And the only thing she had to do was click them three times. Click, click, click. And she would have went home, but she just didn't know. She needed somebody to help her out. Maybe you think you are a Talmudim, a disciple. But as you look at your lifestyle and you compare it to the teachings, the yoke of Jesus, it doesn't match up. That's where I was. And I had to wrestle through that. I know it's tough. Maybe this is you. Maybe this is you. I think I'm a follower of Jesus, as best I can tell. But honestly, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I want healing from depression and despair and disillusionment. And honestly, I'm a little fed up with all the hypocrisy of religion. I'm interested in Jesus. But man, this church stuff, man, y'all got too many rules and regulations and expectations. It's overwhelming. What gives? Am I missing something? You're going to have to be humble, my friends. And as Jesus says, come and see. For those who don't quite know where they are, a lot of times in our society, we will hear the word Christian. And you'll be like, oh, Christian. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's me, man. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, yeah. And then you'll hear the word disciple. You're like, well, hold on now. What's this disciple thing? What's this D word? I don't know about that. Is that the super holy roly Christian? I'm a little confused. If that's your thinking, that's okay. There is healing in that. That is Jesus's invitation to invite you to come and follow him, to take up his yoke and receive the truth. For those of us that are studying out the scriptures right now and wrestling, like we talked about with my man Josh, keep wrestling, keep fighting for that healing, and take up the yoke of Jesus today. Don't delay. And for my brothers and sisters that have decided to make Jesus Lord of their life, number one, before we get too excited, we need to check our own character first. We need to check our own lifestyle first and make sure that it measures up with the teachings of the one that we said we follow, to make sure that we have held on to the original convictions that day we said Jesus is Lord. And then number two for us, yo, man, where's your Talmudines at? Where's your Talmudine? I get it. I'm being a little weird. You know, I know we're all disciples of Jesus Christ, but where's the group of people that you're helping? Where's that group of people that you are reaching out to, trying to give healing to with the scriptures, moving them forward so that they can bring their friends and their family members along so that they can get on the path and they can receive healing? Jesus was our teacher. And ultimate healing will come from taking up his yoke and following him. When we bring people with us, they will receive healing as well. You know, Dorothy was real cool, man. When she started that path, every one of those guys she met, she said, "What's wrong? What do you got? Hey, you can come with me. Maybe he can heal you too. Come on, let's go." She did it 3 times. Dorothy had her little Talmudine crew. It's amazing when we are thinking about the marginalized, the disenfranchised. And there are many people that are like that spiritually who are seeking the face of God. The power of God will heal us if we take up the easy yoke of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what would it look like for us to take up the yoke of Jesus for healing? In a united front, knowing that the power of God will be able to overcome any of those obstacles that was placed before Dorothy. Because Jesus's yoke is easy as we ease on down the road. You know, it's a cost to follow Jesus, but I can tell you this, you will get much more out of it than what you have to give up. Yes, there was a cross. Yes, there was a death. But then there was an empty tomb. And in that empty tomb, there is ultimate healing and ultimate salvation for us all. Let's go to God in prayer for our communion. Holy Father, thank you for this opportunity. Father in heaven, the opportunity to be able to walk your path, to follow the footsteps of your Son, Jesus. God, we are excited to know that you want to heal every fabric of our being. You have given us a way to do it, and I pray that humility will bubble over, overwhelm our hearts so that we can do what the scripture says. Father, love is in the air. I pray that we are patient with one another as we help each other to the end goal. In your holy Son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.